Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you came by this morning. I want to apologize for not being on the air yesterday. I have some stuff going on again with my husband, referred to as Big Spike around here. We've been married for almost 47 years. And the last couple of years, he's had a really, really tough time. A little bit more than 2 years ago, he had heart failure and congestive heart failure. And we got him through that, and he no sooner got through that, and we realized, of course, the reason his heart wasn't able to work is because lots of other things weren't working. So then we did a carotid surgery, which he came through very, very nicely. And then during a regular exam, after being examined monthly by a myriad of doctors, one of the technicians that were taking doing a scan of his heart said, you know, you've got an aneurysm. And, of course, they rushed him right into the other doctor and found out that he had an aneurysm in his aorta that was right next to his kidneys. And he ended up having a customized stent put in there, a surgery that was done here in Boca Raton by a very competent young man that we met through all the other doctors. And again, he came through with flying colors. My husband is 70 years old and worked hard and played hard his whole life. Heavy smoker, big drinker up until about 13 years ago, and an athlete as a kid, and always a sports enthusiast his whole life. So I guess the reason I want to bring this up is because, you know, it's kind of an eye-opener for those of you that are out there that are over the age of 50, and you've been a survivor all your life, and you've done all the things that everybody else does, and you're kind of patting yourself on the back as you go along. Well, you know, considering the life I've led, I'm in pretty good shape. And indeed, I'm sure that's true of many of us. But smoking, number one, drinking to excess, number two, actually very slowly beats up the human body, beats it up. Now, there's lots of other things that play into the scenario, and I know that. So before everybody says, well, what about this and what about that, I know. Bad choices with food, where you work, what kind of stress level you have, all of these things play into it. But after something, anything, is 70 years old, you know, the wear and tear takes its toll. So I guess I want to say to everybody, please, if you're in your 40s and your 50s, and you've partied hard and worked hard and done everything to the hilt because you could or because you wanted to, life is going to last as long as it's supposed to. So I hear a lot of young people say, ah, so if it kills me, I'm dead, then who cares? And I say, you know, that's a very cavalier attitude. It doesn't really work that way. Life is not a game of Monopoly. You don't get to say, oh, okay, I screwed up, I've done it enough, so I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing until I die. It's not that simple. And if that's what you're thinking, think again. Illness, horrible illness, can stretch on for a very, very, very long time. Another person that we lost this on Sunday is my daughter-in-law's mom, another lady who did a lot of good things in her life, but she was an in her youth. She was a drinker. She'd smoked all of her life. Alzheimer's took her several years ago. Dementia first and then full-blown Alzheimer's. Fell down, broke her hip twice, had all these kind of things happen to her. No quality of life for the last several years. None. Mind you, the family, they still want you. You're a part of the family. They still love you. They don't want to lose you. I'm just telling you something. It's not nice. And the golden years can be the extremely rusty years. No fun, no joy. Don't remember what brought you joy in some cases. So please, start paying attention to how you take care of your body. I'm the first one that needs this lecture. So believe me, I'm giving it a lot of thought this last year, what I can do to put myself in a better place. Because I have a real strong inside, and I know that. So if I want to be valuable to myself and to all the other people around me, I'm going to start taking better care of myself. So today we're going to talk about skincare, but I wanted to let everybody know that I apologize for yesterday. We had to go have more tests because Big Spike has more stuff wrong with him. But as as the weeks go on and as I share with other family, I will share that on the air as well, and we will talk about it. But I'm going to bring in our girls this morning. I'm going to bring in Monica, who is here to talk to us today about some of the stuff that we talked about on the last show, on the last healthcare show, which was skincare, because she was good enough to look up some information about rosacea and some more natural skincare things that are available almost anywhere that you'll all be able to have access to. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you, Renee?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Good.
I have Shelley on, too, I hope. Shelley, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yep. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So,
good morning, Monica. Rainy.
So my little sermon this morning was, as I said, for myself as much as anybody else. And I know a lot of people in our age arena. Of course, Shelley's still in her 50s. Monica, are you in your 60s yet?
No.
Okay.
No,
so
50.
I didn't know. I've never asked you how old you are. So
I know. Yeah, I'm younger than your cousin.
Ah, okay. Well, so am I, a whole day.
Yeah, I know.
But you see where I'm going with this. And I really, really think, and of course I'm sure so many millions of people have had this kind of an epiphany when they're going through things like what my house is going through right now. I'm sure that some of the knowledge that you have acquired in the last few years had a lot to do with my Aunt Betty Jane. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I did all kinds of research trying to figure out what would help her and applied a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
But since I wasn't living with her,
right,
I couldn't keep it up, and you know, others, I guess, weren't as passionate as I was and believed in the curative properties of coconut oil and juicing and all these things. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, you know, Renee,
well,
and I'm sure Renee is going to know who I'm talking about, but when Renee and I were working at the center, it is important that everybody who's involved in a particular person's life is at least supportive of their efforts to get healthy and not give them a hard time about it. We had a woman who came to the center, and she had very severe cancer. I don't remember what type of cancer, but it was cancer. And every time she would come to the center, her cancer would go into remission. She would gain weight. She would start feeling a lot better. And she would usually stay for longer than the 3 weeks. But her husband was actually pretty abusive, which might have been the source of her cancer because she wasn't treated very well when she got home. And he thought the whole thing about vegetarianism and raw food was nonsense. And he would really give her a hard time. And within 6 months of going home, her cancer would come back. She'd come back to the center. It would go into remission. She'd go back home, and in a short amount of time, it would come back again. And this went on for quite a few times until she finally did succumb to the cancer. But we were always surprised that she never left this man. He was so abusive and so uncooperative with her efforts, and he saw her go into remission every time she came to the center, and yet refused to support her in the diet because he didn't like it and he didn't want to be part of it. Mm-hmm. So it's
also he wasn't in control then, but that's probably another subject for another day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sorry.
Well, I do. Well, it is, and of course, you know, many of our conversations do, you know, grow legs and lives of their own. That's for sure. But
that's where a lot of illness comes from. Stress, emotional stress, emotional injury actually creates the internal environment for diseases and disorders to manifest. So that type of a life, that's why I said that that's probably where her cancer came from. You know, she was literally
Absolutely.
Being by her emotions, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep. Well, and a lot of times it's not done with that kind of abusive behavior. A lot of times it's just done because people don't get it.
Right,
and,
they don't get it, so they're not supportive. That was an extreme example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember the story of the girl that was so sick, and she came to us by herself 1 year, and she got better, and she lived over on the west coast of Florida. And the second time she came back, she was struggling again, and we got her to a better place, and she met a man, and they married. She met him there at the institute, and they married, and he became a health educator and realized that the only way he was going to keep her is by keeping her on the kind of a lifestyle that did not support her cancer. And he did that. I mean, she never got totally well, but she lived another 3 years. But when it finally, you know, when it finally had grown to such a degree, nothing they did was really making a difference. So he came home one day, and her mom had prepared her pancakes. And he called me on the phone. I mean, they had a big blowout in the kitchen because he saw the pancakes, and he went crazy. And he calls me at the institute, and he's screaming at me over the phone, and I just let him, you know, unload. And finally I said, honey, stop. I said, you've done everything you can do. You've given her 3 years of having you, of having a life again. You brought her all that God's going to give to her. And now she's got a mom who's trying to comfort her and does not know any other way to do it. And so many of us moms comfort with food. I said, I'm not sure. I'm not there. But everything that you're saying to me, I'm not sure I wouldn't have given her pancakes. Do you understand? She's just trying to love her. And there's nothing that's going to happen with the pancakes today that isn't going to happen already. So a lot of times the non-support comes from something that's kind of good, but bad for the, you know, the person that's struggling. So
mom was,
we have, I think,
yeah, the mom was definitely mm-hmm. coming from a good place of trying to comfort her child.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when you watched and seen that it got so much better, and mom probably became an avid believer. Why not? Right? But then again, when it grabs a hold again, cancer's a vicious, vicious thing. I mean, we're not talking about just a run-of-the-mill bad guy. We're talking about a serial killer when we
right.
talk about cancer. We're talking
right.
about a whole different thing, a whole different entity when we talk about cancer. It is relentless. It's worse than a freaking cockroach.
Mm-hmm.
Because it figures out how to survive no matter what you do to it. But
well, the problem with cancer is that there are so many things that can incite it in the body, including our emotions. And people don't understand. Everybody thinks it's a mystery disease. It really isn't a mystery disease. The causes of cancer among a lot of the medical group is pretty much well known. And why they keep talking about it like it's a mystery disease is a disservice to people, because it's there is a way to live a life and be free of cancer by understanding how you open the door for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's, you know, again, that's why I said what I said in the beginning of the show today. I really want people to understand the worth of doing things that are right. The obvious things that you know, the abuse of alcohol, the cigarettes, the all the things that we all grew up on. I laugh when I watch old movies, you know, like the old black and whites. There's not a living room in the world in the old movies that didn't have a bar set up in it. There's not not a dramatic actress that doesn't walk around with a cigarette and a cigarette holder puffing on it madly.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's how far
we've come. And doctors used to prescribe cigarettes, if you remember.
Yes, yes, to calm people down, to help people get...
I didn't believe it when I first heard, but then I found all these old commercials and ads and everything, and doctors actually used to prescribe cigarettes to calm people that were nervous.
Well, I've been in a doctor's office in Ithaca, New York, when I've been in baby doctors, you know, gynecologists, and gone into their office while we talked about, you know, when the baby was due and all this stuff, and he'd offer me a cigarette and sit there and smoke while we talked.
Wow. Wow.
So,
yep.
You know, that's how far we've come. Now I see somebody with a cigarette, and I look around to see if somebody's going to stop them. And everybody at my house smokes, but they all smoke outside. But they all smoke, and
yeah.
I guess... but I still see this this thing in the rest of the world where, you know, matter of fact, I got a call from my son the other night, and his wife works at a private club, you know, a veterans bar and restaurant. And these old people, you walk in there, you can't even see across the room because they're allowed to smoke in there. It's not treated like a public bar or restaurant. Because it's private, it's the VA, then they can all smoke in there. And they all smoke like chimneys. So, you know, she's been trying to quit smoking and has done, you know, done pretty good, gone like 6 months. And then work, she ends up smoking again.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's got us on another tirade. I did really want to talk today about some of the articles that Monica sent to me about skincare, and something I did find out that I found very interesting, although I'm not going to talk about that first, I wanted to kind of get you guys input on some of the things that they talk about on the seventh, it's called Seven Secrets That Cured My Acne Without Chemicals, and it's got some beautiful food grade things that we never thought about. But they're lovely, and better you put them on your skin than actually eat them. There's brown sugar and things like that, you know. But it's very, very interesting. So I wanted to talk about that. But I also wanted to mention that she sent me something about rosacea, and we were talking about it like it's kind of a rash that looks like a rash, and it looks like this, and it looks like that. Rosacea is actually little broken blood vessels. Did you guys know that?
Well, there's actually several types of rosacea. There's the rosacea that's just the ruddiness all over the face. There's a rosacea that can include those little broken capillaries, and you have so many of them in your face, and you'll actually see the little red lines. And then there's an advanced form of rosacea that actually produces bumps or actually like little pustules, like severe alcoholics where they get that nose that becomes enlarged. And there's another form of rosacea that causes that or causes like pimples and pustules on the face itself. That's another form of rosacea. So there's actually different degrees of it.
Well,
right,
I found it to be quite interesting. Yeah. It does. It does say that. But I still just thought to myself. And then I got thinking about somebody who is a very good friend of mine. We still talk occasionally, but we've drifted apart for various reasons. But we worked together, and she had rosacea. It was the first time I'd ever even heard about it was with her. And I went, we did a camp out, and we woke up in the morning at the campsite and everything, and she came out, and I was making a big breakfast on the griddle and all that kind of stuff. We were having a great time, and I happened to turn over in the bright sunshine of the morning, and I said, "Oh, my gosh, Sharon, what's wrong with your face?" And she said, "Oh, usually I have makeup on when you see me." And I said, is it because we're outside? You know, did something... Are you allergic to something out here in the air?" And we were by a big pond, and there was all kinds. It was here in Florida, so there was all kinds of stuff growing. She goes, "No, it's called rosacea." And I said, "Oh, I never heard of it." This is probably, oh, Lord, 30 years ago, 25 years ago at least. And I remember looking at it in the sunlight, and when I read this, it didn't stick with me, but I remembered that I could see the little tiny like blood spots in her face out in the bright sunshine. And and she's still, she's, how old is she? I'm 65, so she's like about 62 now. And she still struggles with it. But all she ever does is cover it with makeup, which, of course, she's getting into more natural stuff. I should talk to her about this now. But...
did you know that there's also a form of rosacea called ocular rosacea, which affects the eyes? It produces a gritty gritty sensation, like when you're constantly blinking and you feel like there's something in your eye,
yeah,
like almost like
something in your eye, yeah,
and burning. Yeah. Yeah, so that's ocular rosacea. It's caused by it's the same foundation, but it affects the eyes.
Well, that's interesting because she, for many, many years, wore contacts, the same person. And she called in work one day, and I was the acting manager, and she says, "I can't come in. I used a different kind of solution from my contacts, and I'm having a reaction. I can't keep my contacts in. I can't see through my glasses. I can't do anything." And we found out that it was from the rosacea. She didn't in particular discuss it with me. She probably didn't understand what the doctor said, but she had to go on a special treatment for days. And now, even today, she has to be very, very careful about what kind of for the solution for the lenses that she soaks them in, because she gets a reaction to it. So, I didn't know that's what it was called, but, of course, that makes sense. So I do want to say some of the things on this, and I'm going to ask you guys questions so that you can talk about them. There's a comment on this page. It's called Acne and I. "Inseparable since seventh grade, it requires pages to explain the myriad of treatments, lotions, potions, and prescriptions under my belt. Basically, I've tried every prescription besides Accutane and birth control pills, and I will never touch those. Everything from drugstore cleansers to $90 serums have graced my medicine cabinet. I've even invested in at-home peel chemical peels, a Clarisonic, and laser treatments." So this is somebody who, she says since seventh grade. So in seventh grade, what are you, like 12? Does that sound
right?
Yeah,
it sounds right.
13? Yeah.
12 or 13, yeah.
So now she's working on the diet. And working on her diet, of course, is one of the first things that cleared up her skin. And she says, "I went cold turkey on all my skincare products, albeit natural products, and I have been using the following homemade regimen for about a month. While my acne is not completely gone, I know with a bit more time this routine will cure my acne." So she goes through the whole thing, but I just want to, I don't want to read everything that she's got. I just want to talk to you about some of the things she talks about. She says oil cleansing in the evening, but she doesn't tell you what kind of oil she uses. So I'm thinking
it's coconut.
Okay, that's what I figured.
It's
I was going to say. I'm
really,
sure Monica.
I follow her blog.
Okay.
Oh wow, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And the oil, apparently from using the coconut oil, it not only removes the makeup and leaves her skin soft and everything, but she thinks that the coconut oil is actually normalizing her facial oil production. Because she's not
also
washing away the natural secretions with soap, right, Monica? Is that the deal there?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. She also uses jojoba oil because that is also closest to the own your own physical oils in your skin. So it's both of them. Jojoba is closest to your own skin oil, and then she does talk in other articles about using coconut.
Mm-hmm.
So either one.
What does jojoba oil come from, you guys?
Jojoba tree?
A jojoba plant?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Because you see it.
Yeah.
Remember, like 10 years ago? Huh?
How do you spell jojoba? Is that with a J in the front?
Yes.
Yeah, J-O-J-O-B-A.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm not sure what it is either.
Because you remember when it started appearing in all the shampoos, all the cream rinses. I mean, it was a big selling point in all the soaps. And I just always assumed it was a tree, a plant of some kind. But I never bothered to find out. And now that you're bringing it up, of course, makes me wonder about what it is. Are you on the computer, Shel?
Yeah, it says an oil extracted from the seeds of an American shrub.
An American shrub.
It's a leathery-leaved evergreen shrub. Interesting. A small tree that produces seeds native chiefly to the southwestern U.S. It is grown to prevent desertification as well as for its seeds. So, yeah, so it's from a shrub, you know, like what you would see in the, well, they're saying the southwestern, not southeastern, southwestern U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting.
So, California, probably.
Yeah, it's from the, yes, so it's from a tree, and it's from the seeds that grow amidst these leathery leaves. Interesting. I did not know that.
I think about it, and then it becomes unimportant on my list of things to do, you know.
Yeah, this article says that it's mostly grown in northern Mexico and southwestern U.S.
Okay.
So it's Mexico and now Desert Essence, which is one of these all-natural organic companies. They make a lot of jojoba products or jojoba. I think you're supposed to pronounce it with the H like you guys did, jojoba.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope. Okay, well, good. Well, so she goes on, and a lot of these things are the points that Monica made last week, the cleansing with the olive oil in the evening.
No, not olive
in the morning,
oil.
I'm sorry, coconut oil. Yeah, that just fell out of my mouth, you know. I'm not even Italian. honey cleansing in the morning. In the mornings, I wash my face with honey. With slightly dampened fingers, I massage about half a teaspoon of raw honey over my dry face and then rinse. The antibacterial properties of honey work to inhibit breakouts. Additionally, it removes excess oil but leaves skin moisturized. So that's a big plus. And then she talks about the apple cider vinegar for the toner in lieu of things like sea breeze or any of the other things that we talked about the other day, which is, of course, according to my notes, what Monica had said as well. And then she makes a homemade acne facial oil. She fills a one-ounce jar with jojoba oil, then adds a few drops of carrot seed oil and 3 drops of geranium oil and 3 drops of lavender oil. And she moistens her face with the toner which is the apple cider vinegar. And then she warms a few drops of this oil mixture between my fingers and massages it lightly onto my face. As a bonus, it feels like a quick aromatherapy treatment, which sounds very nice. You know, years ago, I tried to talk Brian into doing this at Hippocrates. Instead of him designing all these things, which he never finished because it's just too big an arena, I said, why don't we just have the estheticians, you know, of course, Hansa did in her own way. Hansa used to do the wheatgrass scalp treatments and things like that for people, and we used some of the more natural things. But I wanted to do some of this stuff because this just makes so much sense to me, and it's such in line with what it was done at the Institute. She also makes a honey, cinnamon, and nutmeg spot treatment. And if you ever visit my house without giving me prior warning, you might just see me walking around with dots of gooey cinnamon on my zit. This is my normal routine ever since discovering that this mask makes a super effective spot treatment. I mix raw honey with enough cinnamon to form a paste, add some freshly grated nutmeg, and store it in a small container in my bathroom. I'll leave this spot treatment on for a couple hours. If you want to use it as a full face mask, leave it on for only 10 to 15 minutes, which sounds wonderful. See, I'm going to do some of these things for my two boys, my two youngest boys, because they still struggle with this stuff, and it's, as we talked about before, it can impede what they're doing with the rest of their lives when they're contending with stuff like this. Once a week, I mix up a paste of baking soda and water and apply it to my face, chest, and back. I leave it on for only a few minutes before my bath or shower. It provides gentle chemical exfoliation to even skin tone, dry up breakouts, and eliminate blackheads. As a bonus, this effective treatment is simple and economical. I want to say something in here. We've never talked about this on the show, but I learned about this years ago. I make homemade toothpaste for everybody here, especially if they drink too much coffee or if they smoked all their lives and they have that yellowing on their teeth. I make peroxide and baking soda toothpaste. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And not just plain baking soda. I mix it like a paste with the peroxide. And peroxide, of course, has oxygen in it, so it has a little bit of bleaching effect. And the baking soda, of course, is granulated, which helps clean up your teeth. It works very well.
Here's another thing for you. Try coconut oil. It'll clean all the germs and the bacteria in the mouth, and it whitens your teeth.
Coconut oil?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, big time.
Doesn't it feel yucky?
No.
Doesn't it feel yucky in your mouth?
It feels yuckier than using toothpaste. I mean, it's not at all.
Toothpaste is like, it's pasty. It's very thick, and I would imagine it would actually have a slightly thinner feel to it than an actual toothpaste does.
Right. I make my own toothpaste also, and I use coconut oil, a little bit of baking soda, and I also use the Redmond clay that we talked about last week because that also cleans up all the bacteria in your mouth, but the coconut oil has extra properties, and you can actually do oil pulling, which we could talk about some other time, but oil pulling is amazing. It clears your sinuses, it gets rid of all the bacteria in your mouth, and it whitens your teeth and helps your teeth to get stronger in your gums. It does a million things. It's amazing.
I've had a lot of people just recently talk to me about oil pulling. But the conversations have been so, like in passing kind of things. I haven't been able to ask questions. So I would love to have a conversation about oil pulling because Linda, one of the massage therapists at the Institute does it all the time, and I'm like, what the hell is she talking about, oil pulling? Of course, I immediately get a picture of somebody standing around, trying to hang on to oil and to pull it, and that was amusing to me all by itself.
That's pretty funny.
So, but this regimen that she's doing, I keep having trouble with my computer this morning, it keeps freezing up. But this deal that she's doing sounds like a very, very healthy regimen, and it sounds like very, very simple, no high-tech measuring or doing anything, that it's something that could be put together very quickly and very efficiently. And to be honest with you, after we talked last week, I went to the store, and of course I looked at all the products and everything and read the labels, which I tell everybody to do all the time, and I was like, wow, this is, this is a mess, some of these things, and some of them have got buku alcohol. Did I ever tell you guys the story while we were talking about this, about the kid that I went to school with who had severe acne, probably cystic acne, although we didn't call it that back in those days? And am I losing you guys?
No, I'm still here.
No?
Okay, because my computer just shut down, so I wasn't sure what would happen to the radio show if that happened, but apparently we're still in contact. So I'm trying to reboot my computer. Okay. I think that the big boric acid and things like that are in some of these things, and it made me, and some of them are, start out for a little tiny serum, they call it, at like $17.95 and $11.95 and stuff like that. So I think that some of these natural things are wonderful. And, of course, we also talked about putting things on our skin that we should be able to eat, and all these things are that. So I'd like to maybe see – well, I left this article that Monica sent me on my Facebook page, and I'd like to tell everybody that they can go in and they can also go on this lady's blog and they can go on Monica's site and see a lot of these recipes and a lot of these ideas. So if you're struggling with things like that, maybe this can be beneficial to you. However, there is another subject that I want to ask you about, Monica, in regard to this. I looked to see if I saw anything that answered it, so I didn't have to ask you. I didn't. What about things like sunspots and things like that, like we talked about one other time, but that's all we did was touch on it. You know, the sunspots that a lot of us really sensitive people get just from years of being in the sun. My son has them. I have them. I see a lot of people with them, especially if we're freckly people.
Oh, what do you mean sunspots?
On
like zits
they make
that
like
you get
they,
from?
No, they're usually just little tiny boo-boos, almost like a acne breakout. I don't get them on my face. I usually get them on my chest. I've burnt the hell out of my chest as a kid in the sun all the time. So I even have some scars on my chest. If I wore a different bathing suit and when I was a kid, because I lived in Florida from like age 11 till 17 and was at the beach all the time, swimming all the time. So I have places on my chest that would be almost like virgin skin if I changed the bathing suit and it changed like in my cleavage and stuff like that, and I have scars from them. Now, though, I see I'm getting these little things and they almost get like a little sore.
I'm not. Are you sure that's called a sunspot, Renee? Because
them sunspots because I don't know what else to call them, honey.
Okay, because
that's
sunspots. A lot of people call sunspots those little like dark light brown discolorations you get sometimes on your arms or your face. And those are actually liver spots.
Yeah, I know what those are. Right,
yeah.
Those aren't sun. That's not what I'm talking about.
And does it usually only happen when you're in the sun? Is that why you're calling it a sunspot?
It usually go ahead.
Sun poisoning?
No. Well, some of the scars on me are from sun poisoning, yes. But these are not.
Okay.
This is like, they almost start out like little pimples. And they're itchy, so you don't leave them alone. And they just drive you crazy. So I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with them or what you really would call them. I've never been to anybody. Right now I have three on my chest, and, of course, I'm the kind of person who can't leave my hands off of them. So that makes it worse. But I'm wondering if some of these I'm actually thinking, because a lot of times I just use like an oil. I've used coconut oil on them before, but I'm out of that. I've used some
honey.
Years ago, Shelley gave me some honey. Well, that's what I thought I would use, the Manuka honey.
Mm-hmm.
I would use some of those on it and see if that helped. You think that is, will that help stop the itching?
Yeah, absolutely. Any kind of skin issue that you have, a bug bite, mosquito, spider bite, raw honey is the best. And that you would get from your local bee farmer, the raw honey. Don't buy honey that you find at the grocery store. But the absolute best, like we were talking about, I believe it was last week, is the Manuka honey. And that's for something probably a little bit more, I mean, well, we talked about MRSA, but if you have any kind of skin eruption, you know, raw honey or Manuka honey will take care of it, definitely. And it does stop the itching immediately.
Yeah, because
I think I told you that my granddaughter got stung by a hornet and screaming and crying, and I immediately grabbed my raw honey and put it on top, and she stopped immediately. I mean, and I was surprised, and I'm like, it doesn't hurt anymore? And she says, no, it's fine. I mean, this was all in the matter of 1 minute, and it immediately stopped the burn and the pain. So it's
that's
raw
awesome.
Honey is amazing. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try that, too. I think I've got Elise on the line. I'm going to let her in. She's Elise, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to spell Manuka honey, but I'm driving, so I can't look it up. I was pressing one before. I wanted to just say something when you guys were talking about, and I'm not going to change the subject, but just I want to throw one thing in really quickly, because I was on a call yesterday with some kind of Chinese medicine clinical doctor. I don't know what he was. He was talking about oral health. He was talking about coenzyme Q10 and then keeping your mouth healthy and your gums, and then the conversation went to algae, and he said that if you put algae, you lick it and keep it in your mouth a little bit, it has incredible benefit for the gums and the oral hygiene. So I just wanted to add that from before. But regarding skincare, I do want to tell you all about a wonderful, and really I need to connect you with this woman. She owns a website. It's called The Body Deli. So if you go to www.thebodydeli.com, I have been using her products, I guess, now for about 6 years. She farms everything on a farm behind her store, and it's all raw, pure. There's no preservatives in it. Thus, that's why they call it the Body Deli. Anything that needs preservative, they keep it on ice. They keep it refrigerated. So there's not an iota of preservative. It has helped my skin. I'm actually on their testimonial page. I don't get any money. It's not a network marketing company. There's no affiliate program, nothing. I just love to send people to her site because my hands used to peel like I was in chemo. And, from staying away from detergents and using those products. And she has an oil, I think, a honey. I don't know if it's Manuka, but I'm sure it's a very good honey. So I just wanted to throw that that out there. It is expensive. It is on the more expensive side. That's the downside. But it does last a good amount of time. And I guess if you look at the ingredients, you can try and figure out how to do it yourself. But it's fun to even look at the website and just see, you know, all the different things that are offered. I just want
to
throw it out there.
Well, that sounds good.
Very
good. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. And I always send, you know, all these network marketing, lemongrass and this and that. So I always send her everything and I say, so tell me about this product, you know. And she'll tell me about an ingredient, if it's fragile enough to actually work the way they have it. And she just really knows her skincare. She used to be an esthetician, and she kind of had the same thing as me, the peeling hands. So she developed the product line from having problem skin.
Well, that sounds good. And I think everything that we do like this is smart. And like I said, if you immerse yourself in that department, in a drugstore or any of the big stores that carry all those kind of things, you're like blown away by some of the other crap that's in them. And they can't be good, and they have to eventually start eating at the tissue of your skin is what I would be concerned about.
Rini, there's an ingredient called phenoxyethanol. And Shelley, if you're by your computer, it's P-H-E-N-Y, phenoxy, ethanol, E-T-H-A-N-O-L, phen, okay. That is in every skincare, in Whole Foods, in all of the more holistic skincare. And when I did some research on it, it's apparently really not a good ingredient. But I was asking Rini Barb about it, and she had some information that, well, if it comes from the plant stem as opposed to this, I don't know, I have to get more information on it, but apparently they say it's natural, but it, most ways the way it is presented in products, it's actually not very healthy. So I don't know if we could do some research on that.
Usually if it's a word that you can't pronounce, it's not good for you.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's true.
If you can't eat it, don't put it on your face.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb. That's a good rule of thumb. And
Rini,
I think that
need...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I just wanted to say you definitely should talk to Barb about the algae in skin, because they were talking about it last night, about rubbing algae directly. If you mix Acidophilus with an enzyme, it has, or with an algae, a probiotic and enzyme and algae, if you rub it on a problem skin area, he was talking about a dog, actually, where the poultice came out through the, I'm so bad at learning and then trying to rearticulate it. Basically, algae is very good on skin issues. So you talk to Barb about that, because it was pretty, pretty exciting hearing this stuff on this radio.
Well, I think the three of us, Monica, Shelley, and myself, are believers already in blue-green algae, and I think we understand the benefits from it. So I think we're all in agreement with that. I think some of these things, though, blue-green algae is something that you have to go out and search for and find the right product, or go to a company that has recipes for their own, and you know that everything is natural. Some of the things that we're talking about on the show right now are available, even at a Publix, some of them. Because ever since Monica started talking to me about some of these things, I've been watching. And even Publix, of course, is trying to put in a green arena in their stores. So even in there, I can find things. I found a coconut oil soap. It's not totally pure, but at least it's going in the right direction now. And remember years ago, Shell, when I bought us that olive oil soap, and you said I have to be careful with it, but we both loved it. It didn't have perfume in it. It was great. Here in Florida, we're so used to so much humidity and everything, and then when we have a winter, we all turn into these great big giant flakes.
No,
I mean that literally. So,
guys, listen to this. I found a website. Excuse the language, but this is the title of it. It's called Healthy Bitch Daily. That's what this woman calls her website. But she has evidently a lot of information on skin and cosmetic. I mean, it's this whole big website. And she says, define it. Phenolex, what Elise was just talking about, phenoxyphenol is a preservative that seems to have taken the place of your frenemy paraben. Now, everybody knows that parabens are bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, it is an aromatic ether alcohol.
Ether.
Listen to this. This ingredient starts out as phenol, a toxic white crystalline powder that is created from benzene, a known carcinogen, and then is treated with ethylene oxide, also a known carcinogen, and alkali. Sounds dreamy. And then down here she says bodily harm. Several studies have shown that the toxicity of this ingredient can cause damaging effects to the brain and nervous system, obviously as ingested through the skin, even in moderate concentrations. And then she goes on, you know, but it's a very cheap synthetic. It's ordered from China, and it's a cheap ingredient, so a lot more cosmetic companies are using it, despite...
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's
gentle. That's the gentle ingredient. Wait till you see what all these companies, the Rosanna Fields company, with all the cancer-causing chemicals they have. It's crazy.
And there's so many natural cosmetic companies out there, but unfortunately, they're a little bit more expensive than the standard commercial brands, and so a lot of people won't look at them. But the nice thing about the holistic, organic, natural cosmetics is that you can use less of them. So even though they're more expensive, if you can make that initial purchase, you're really doing a lot for your health.
Well, it is interesting, though, how many things are out there that profess to be so good for us. And if people don't learn to read labels and see really what's in something, you're so much better off doing your own thing. And I realize some of you women that are out there working 60 hours a week and coming home and taking care of families and running here and running there and have little Miss Elise here, who's still running three teenage boys here and there and everywhere and has to be here at this time and has to be there at that time and has a house to run and meals to cook. I know, I've been there. You can't be a mixologist on the side when you've got that kind of a paced life. So what we have to hope for is websites like this where people are going to start reproducing, which is something that Monica is doing. So Monica and I talked about this before, and I'm going to drop this in Shelley's lap a little bit, not for it to take precedence over everything else that you're doing, Shell, but wouldn't it be great if somebody like Monica could actually do something in her home? We'd like to know what the legalities are in regard to her being able to actually sell some of her products without doing, you know, having to have her house deemed organic and all the licensure that's involved in all this stuff. Or at the very least, be able to sell her recipes and be able to, with all the things that she's doing for other people and all the information that she's giving, it only seems fair that there should be some benefits in it for her. So
the easiest way to go around something like that is to have a very clear disclaimer that you're not selling these products for any health benefits, that you make no claims of health benefits, but that personally you've used it and gotten these results. So you can make a personal testimonial, or you can make a testimonial based on other people, and if you want to try it and see if you benefit from it, but you have to make it clear that the person is trying at their own risk so that there's no liability.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've definitely checked into all that, and that's the biggest issue, is to make a disclaimer on anything that I would put out there, and probably... something like Etsy, which is on the internet, a place where you can sell your homemade wares. I mean, they go from crochet to tinctures, like I do.
Really?
I mean, so, yeah, I've definitely looked into it.
Well, I think that would be nice because, like I said,
that might be happening sooner than I thought. So, well, thank you, Reenie.
Well, good. Yes. Well, and I think it's important also to, you know, one of the things that us ladies struggle with is all the work we do. And I'm a big advocate of women, in case nobody's noticed that. We do 70% of the 100% that are out there all the time, of relationships, of memberships, of jobs, of all the things that are out there. We seem to be the one, you know, the Jill of all trades, so to speak. And I applaud women who step out of that and into something else that's going to benefit everybody. That's what this show is all about as well as being able to pass on good information and be able to support people and give people a sounding board. That's the other thing that I think this is about, all the things that we talk about in order to bring ourselves to a better place, help our kids, help our families, do all the things that we do. But there needs to be some kind of remuneration for that instead of just say, oh, what a wonderful person you are. Well, you know, that doesn't pay the bills, and it doesn't, you know, get you a new car every 6 or 7 years either. So there has to be a wash here of some kind. So, my little friend here, Elise, I mean, she's like, I was there where she's at right now. I was there 25, 30 years ago, and it's insane. And Monica, you were there. You have four boys, right?
Five boys. Yeah,
good God Almighty, you know. So, you know, we get it. And Shelley, she's never had any children, but she has the four-legged ones. And she gets just as wrapped up in the lives of the four-legged ones as we did our kids. So it's never ending. So I commend the three of
some
you
of my
for all
members.
The other things you're doing to make things better for other people. It's awesome.
Yep.
I'm really on a soapbox today, aren't I?
Yep.
Well, thank
you. Did we cover rosacea therapies? Because I'm not sure we ever got to that.
Well, we didn't.
I know the show's almost over, but I'm not so sure that we ever talked about rosacea other than what it was.
Yeah. So, but most of the things that we talked about from the other website are kind of in keeping with rosacea. The calming things to calm things down. Did you find out more, Shelley, about rosacea that you want to share in 2 minutes?
A bunch of stuff. So maybe we'll have to do another show on it. Because I found a website by a naturopathic doctor. She talked about some of the causes and how to counteract them. And it's all pretty consistent with what we talked about, but it was things outside what we talked about today.
Okay. Well, that's what I found, too. I thought that they all kind of led into each other. And, of course, rosacea, albeit a problem and a heartache for the people who are struggling with it, acne, for me, seemed to be at the more vulnerable ages. The acne is one of the things that kind of coincides with the bullying and the self-respect and the self-esteem and all the other things that go with that. So I guess I honed in on that for personal reasons. And
anybody that was checking in today because they had rosacea, that there are natural remedies out there that are different than how you would treat acne, which is what I'm saying. So maybe we can cover that again.
We will. Well, we're going to do a health show every Wednesday until we all get old and gray. So, and of course, that's probably me already, but we won't talk about that. So I want to thank you all. This was a great show, lots of good information, and I think that it will always be something that we can talk about, how we take care of ourselves. And in the beginning of the show, when I talked about making some choices when you're young enough to make them count is imperative in this life.
Mm-hmm.
You are not a machine. You are a human being, and you have to really take care of yourselves, please. Otherwise, you know, you pay for it later, and the golden years turn into a rust bucket. So you don't want that. So everybody have a great, great day. We'll be back tomorrow with a recap. Shell, maybe you can share some of those things tomorrow. And if you're listening, folks, and you're disappointed that we didn't talk enough about rosacea, tune in tomorrow because on the recap time, we'll let Shell give us some of the pointers that she found out about rosacea, so you're welcome to tune in. Everybody want to say goodbye to everybody?
Have a
goodbye,
great day.
Ladies. From you both.
Love you, Renee.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Great job. Okay, everybody, go out there and make it a beautiful day. And here in South Florida, it's going to be in the 80s. Somebody in California won that $400 million. So let's put our glasses up to them. I hope their life changes in the best ways ever. And I hope they help change the world with all that money. God bless, everybody. Have a great day.